Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Haynes tries a three.
It's good.
Morris goes right to Thompson. Counted and one.
And Morris yells into Thompson's face.
And Horford got fouled as he goes crashing to the parquet floor.
Oh, and Smart going at J.R. Smith.
They're playing tougher than we are. They're gooning the game up.
That's a dirty play.
There's a anti-obscene J.R. Smith.
I like when you say that. You soften it so much.
I think they're saying forget you, J.R., right?
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
I feel sorry for LeBron James tonight. His teammates are saying legendary.
Yes, that's a lot, man.
If it's 50-50 balls, he's going to get it. If it's a loose ball, offensive rebound they need to have, he's going to get it.
That's Marcus Smart times.
There should be no question about your effort, your mental stability. It should be whether we're just good enough on a certain night, from shooting it to maybe turnovers, missed free throws, but not in the playoffs.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm back here with hour number two of OMF. We had the NBA draft lottery last night. As we told you yesterday, a slight little chance that the Celtics could have squeezed through with the number two or number three pick. It did not happen. By the way, the ESPN, the league, you've got to do something. Okay, it's a two-minute event that you drag out for an hour, and it is boring as sin.
They try to make it too much. A draft night, I get. But they bring in what? Maybe their top five prospects?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They interview them.
Right.
And but it's not even, I mean, maybe other than the kid, other than the center who they think is going to go first.
Aiden.
Maybe he might figure out who he's going to play for. But as we saw last year, it means nothing
either, right?
Fultz is the clear-cut number one pre-draft. Celtics get number one, and they're interviewing him. And it's like, okay, great, right? Who the hell knows? It's and then they pick, you know, they go from 14 to like, right, like 10 or whatever it is,
commercial,
and they go to commercial.
And it's just,
I mean, it's like,
just
dude,
so
you're just
awkward.
Picking an order. You're not even drafting humans yet.
You can't
when,
do
when Cassidy Hubbard is
she was terrible.
Know, introducing. It was
she was confused as to the last two owners, number two and number one. Did you notice that?
It was weird just
awful.
Introducing, and some people she'll talk to.
Can we
some
say that?
She
can
won't.
We say that?
She
it was, yeah. It was a female. Can
she
we
had,
say
well,
that?
She had a piece of paper there when she was interviewing that dude at first. And she's like, So you, and she's reading the piece of paper, holding it up with her left hand.
Awful.
While she's interviewing the guy.
She was scared to death.
But, I mean, you know,
she does all the NBA games.
You couldn't stare at it, study it, and say, okay, when I interview, I'm going to ask these questions and put it down. She actually held the piece of paper up, was reading the paper while interviewing, and then looked up, and she was done reading it. I'm like, what are you doing?
It was awful.
What is this?
I know we're going to get chastised because we criticized a female, but she was terrible. She was not comfortable. She seemed nervous, not sure of herself. It was terrible television. It was an hour
awful.
That was, and it drags, and oh, my God, it was just. So we did find out one thing last night from a Celtics point of view, that the Kyrie Irving trade is now complete. And so for those people that were screaming and yelling about the Brooklyn pick, because everybody was concerned, we're going to give up that Brooklyn pick. The Brooklyn pick could be number one, or it could be 2, 3, 4, 5 in a year in which you're going to have all these bigs that are coming out in the draft. So you're 1 through 5. You got 5 bigs and 1 euro, right? 1 euro guard, mid-sized player. This is not the year you give up that high Brooklyn pick. So here's the final deal. The Boston Celtics get Kyrie Irving. They give up Isaiah Thomas. Wasn't good enough for the Cavaliers, so they traded him away for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. And Jay Crowder, who wasn't good enough for the Cavaliers, so they traded him away for Rodney Hood. By the way, those three players had a combined 3 points in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Ooh, impact players.
Impact players. And you got the Cleveland got the 8th pick in the 2008 draft in a year in which the draft is 5, if you want to stretch it, maybe 60. Sorry.
8th pick for Kyrie. Don't forget that 2020 second round pick they threw in there at the end.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Wow.
That's a bad deal.
Cleveland's going to look a whole lot different.
And if you're in Cleveland right now, contrary to what we're hearing so far from Cleveland
Zizic,
Sports Star
too,
Radio.
Don't forget him.
Don't forget him. Let me include
Zizic.
You got zero playing time
Ante.
So far
Zizic.
In the playoffs.
Jake Crowder, a broke Isaiah Thomas. The eighth pick in the draft.
Eighth.
I bet you they wish they had those guys back, though. I bet you they wish they had Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder right now.
Let's just admit, it's no man's land, right? The eighth pick.
Yes.
No one's saying you can't go out and find a superstar at a blah, blah, blah. I get it.
Get lucky.
But it's about value. You know, we're talking about if they could have gotten turned that Brooklyn pick into first or second, maybe they could have done what the Celtics did. You know, maybe they could have enticed LeBron. Hey, stick around. We got that first pick overall. We can either draft this kid or we can trade it and we can acquire this guy and that guy. Eighth pick overall. What kind of trade value does that have?
So flip it, Lou.
Nothing.
You're a Cleveland Cavalier. You're a Cleveland talk show host right now.
Boring.
And you don't care.
Right. And you're looking at this.
Talking about the Browns?
No.
Why, the Indians struggling?
It's our year. You're looking at the final sheet on this trade, and you're sitting there going, wait a minute. Right now, the thing that the Cavaliers are missing the most is a guy like Kyrie Irving. Now, granted, he wouldn't be healthy because he's not healthy right now, but you're missing that guy. And so we're looking to next year, and I've got Clarkson, Nance, Hood, and an eighth pick overall in the draft. Where's your future off that deal?
Forgetting Zizic.
Zizic. I'm sorry. I forgot Zizic. So you're giving away a 25-year-old superstar, top 10, top 15 at worst player in the league. And this is what you're left with?
Yeah.
If we were in Cleveland right now with our passion, not the passion of the Cleveland talk show host, we would be skewering the
It's funny, like right after that trade was done, the first game they played after that trade with all those guys, all those new faces, they came to Boston and beat Boston.
First two games they were great.
How excited that whole team
Jordan
was.
Clarkson's
but not
a player.
Just the reaction.
And LeBron James was like, he had new energy.
The reaction from, like, I think Stephen A. even. The national people.
They loved it.
They made that trade, we sat here and I was like, I believe in this team less than I did before.
Yeah.
Because the only chance they had was Isaiah getting healthy and giving another piece to LeBron and Kevin Love, right? And they make that trade and you're like, okay. So let's fast forward. Here we are, the Eastern Conference Finals. Rodney Hood.
Right.
Clarkson. Larry Nance Jr. Oh, the better two-way players. Where are they? George Hill? Their backcourt scored 3 points. Like, Hood refuses to play last round. And I think Lou's throwing him in just to what? Not piss him off? I have no idea. Nance gets a handful of minutes. What did they do? They didn't get a player that could help him in the postseason.
I'm not sure Nance would have been out there if he didn't have Morris out there, you know? If you didn't have Monroe out there or Baines.
Monroe, right.
So... because I don't think he can play in the series with the way that Boston is running and pushing the ball. I'm not sure he can play. It's one problem you see with Monroe. I was surprised to see him last night, but why not? You got Tristan Thompson out there, and you're slowing it down. And
notice what they were doing. They had
Tristan Thompson switching. They had him out on Tatum. They had him
other than Love and James. They don't have anybody on the roster that would start for the Celtics. Now, they don't have one guy that will start. You want to throw in Tristan Thompson?
I like Thompson, but I don't think he'd start.
He's not starting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Baines. I think Baines.
Well, he's a better player than Baines, I would say.
But Baines has been pretty good. Baines.
It's not like it's a landslide. Okay? Baines has been pretty good this year. He serves
He actually made a three-pointer that wasn't a corner three. Usually that little corner three is his. That's his spot.
No, he's hitting threes in the postseason. I don't know how the hell he's doing it, but he's hitting threes in the postseason. He's fine for what they need him for. He's one of those guys that just is fine, but he's not as good or as skilled a player.
Their roster sucks.
So he is shooting 50% from three.
And how many did he make? Four in the regular season?
He's made more in the postseason than he's had all the entire season.
They said that last night. They said he was leading the team in field goal percentage. Yeah. I mean, three-point percentage. And you're like, wait, he is?
Yeah, it was funny. It was like the commentating between the two, Jeff Van Gundy, and who's the other guy?
Mark Jackson.
Van Gundy doesn't let anything go, does he?
No, he doesn't let anything go. And he goes at Mark Jackson. Some of the things Mark Jackson says is just, it's like he's politicking for a job.
Well, the thing at one point, like, the back and forth.
He lost the job.
I know.
LeBron has like the jewelry, or this team has the jewelry because of the guys like Tristan Thompson and guys like Kevin Love and Dundee's. Ben Gundy's like, what are you talking about?
Right.
They got jewelry because of LeBron.
Exactly.
Why are you going to jump on me so quick? Because it's true.
And a typical former coach, and maybe there's some residual effect from him leaving Golden State with all those players, and maybe he's like a little insecure about it. The whole comment about like Tyronn Lue is a great coach. Like, he's a great coach.
Two great coaches in this game.
Yeah.
Two of the greatest coaches in the league in this game.
He's the only person who feels that way.
Brad Stevens and Tyronn Lue at one point, he said.
No.
And he doesn't get enough credit because of but even Van Gundy jumped on that well. You know, if we're going to discredit every coach who was a great player, then there will be no great coaches. But isn't it okay to look at Tyronn Lue a little bit differently?
I think there's exceptions to the rule.
He got the job because he's his buddy.
I agree with that talk. Listen, Bill Walsh, Bill Belichick, Chuck Knoll, go down the line. They all had great players. Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, they all had great players.
Well, you have to in the NBA.
Yes, but I mean, like, no one's looking at Tyronn Lue and saying, oh, he's the difference maker. Nobody is. And maybe that's just because anywhere LeBron James goes, anywhere he goes, that coach is looked at as like a second fiddle, like a throw-in. Well, we need a coach, so I guess you'll be it.
You know, two outstanding coaches. Okay. Brad Stevens is an outstanding coach, and Tyronn Lue has been an outstanding coach from day one. He has won 62% of his games in the regular season, and he's been the back-to-back champion.
But you guys know what that was all about. That is patronizing to Tyronn Lue because he knows that Brad Stevens is getting all sorts of credit and that nobody is saying nice things about Tyronn Lue.
Well, there's a reason.
That's
because we don't think he's any good.
Okay.
I mean,
okay. But I will say this. I will say this.
He's a body.
In all fairness.
Yeah, we need a body. Who can we get?
In all body.
In all fairness to Tyronn Lue, we all said the same thing about Eric Spoelstra when he was coaching LeBron down in Miami. Everybody said he could get anybody. He sucks. He's awful. He's terrible. And now suddenly people, now that LeBron's gone, are going, oh my God, Spoelstra's a pretty good coach. And I will say this, that the people here in Boston thought that Lou really had potential to be a great coach, that he really had a great mind for the game when he was working here as an assistant with the Celtics. So maybe some of it's unfair, and I think that's what Jackson did. He's going, he probably likes him personally, sitting there going, I can't stand that he's not getting credit, and I got to throw it out there. But there was no reason to put it out in the broadcast at that point. Where was the reason? What was the reason?
You know, he was forcing the issue. That's my point. It's like,
now, if you're up in the series, two games to zip, you sit there and say, hey, nobody thinks that Tyronn Lue is a really good coach because he's got the greatest player in the game. But I'm telling you, look at what he's doing. He's making some master smart substitutions here, there, and everywhere.
But that's why people are giving Brad Stevens a ton of credit. You can sit there and say he's won 62% of his games and he's been to the NBA Finals, but you can't just ignore that he does have LeBron James, right? And you look at Brad Stevens and say, okay, he had Kyrie Irving this year. He had last year at Isaiah Thomas. How many teams wanted Isaiah Thomas to lead their team?
The fact
you know what I mean?
That,
like, you have Al there to kind of keep the whole thing together. But that's why you are looking at Brad Stevens, because there's no Kyrie. There is no Gordon Hayward, who they signed and we thought was going to fit in this mix. Look at this team. It's a bunch of kids. I mean, it's a bunch of young kids with Al Horford. You know, and Baines, listen, I know Morris and everything, but still, to sit there and say that he's a great coach because he won 62% of his games and been in the NBA Finals.
He was patronizing.
Well,
You'll never know, so your
example, Spoelstra. I agree with you. You didn't realize what a good coach he was till everybody left.
Right.
Wade left, Bosch left, LeBron James left. They all left. He had a terrible year. They made a great comeback to make it to the playoffs.
Spoelstra was treated the same way that Lou is treated now. He's not the coach. LeBron's the coach. Well, Spoelstra turned out to be pretty good.
Agreed. It's a wait and see with Tyronn Lue.
But the one thing I will say about Brad Stevens, and every time you say this, this is why I give Stevens all the credit in the world. He is pushing this stuff away. When people are talking about how brilliant he is, great he is, he's calling it silly, stupid, smart. Okay, he's modest. I love that. He's pointing it all on his players, which is what you do in the NBA. College, you're the star. In the pros, the players are the star, and you're in the background. All right? Great coach. I'm not going to diminish him whatsoever. But I think what people are not taking enough consideration is you don't get this far, okay, especially when you don't have a Kyrie Irving and you don't have a Gordon Hayward, unless you've got talent. This team is loaded with talent. Jaylen Brown is much better than most people think. Jason Tatum is much better than most people think. We talked about Marcus Smart. I'm telling you, I saw all of Dennis Johnson's career in Boston. Marcus Smart is a better defensive player than Dennis Johnson, who was great and a Hall of Famer at it. Off his defense.
Have they given out six-man? They haven't given out any of the awards, right?
No, they do it in the ceremony season, June 24th.
That Marcus Smart should be your sixth man of the year. Easily should have been I don't think he'll get it because he got hurt. But you show me a guy that comes off the bench.
Well, unfortunately, he won't get defense.
Offensive award.
Yeah, it should be considered for defensive player of the year. Unfortunately, a Rudy Gobert or one of those guys, a bigger guy,
an all around type of award. So you got to do both,
guys.
But There's nobody that impacts the game more than he does off the bench.
He defends ones, twos, threes, fours. He was defending LeBron for part of that game. But you look at the talent, Al Horford, and the way he's playing right now. We haven't even talked much about him.
We don't need to.
And Lou wore a t-shirt today, said Al Horford is good.
But, well, we just figured we can go an hour and a half, so everybody's like, all you ever do is talk about Al. So we don't talk about him.
We don't need it. It's not about Al.
I like
today.
The way you bow down
it's
not to about the people.
That's, and, that's, and you're sitting
that's
there,
humble.
If you're trying to figure out what the mental makeup of what of the Cavaliers team will be going into this game on Saturday at home with your fans, all you have to do is, I'm just looking at ESPN right now. Forget about the game. Forget about dissecting the game. It's, where's LeBron James going next year? So the series isn't even over. The body isn't even dead yet. Yeah. You still have a chance to win and advance. Yeah. It's possible, right? Anything is possible. But they're already focused. So if I'm on the team, I'm saying, this guy, I mean, he's not even going to be here next year.
Christian, two of us in the studio a week ago told you that he wasn't going to be in Cleveland. You argued. You bet lunches on it. Okay?
No. See, so hold on. Okay, if you're going to.
So don't criticize the media right now. You said a week ago he's staying in Cleveland.
Again, you're like the caller. I'm not criticizing the media. I'm giving you the mental makeup. I said.
Lou and I said he's gone.
The farther he advances, if he advanced to the NBA Finals, he would rethink his decision to leave or not. That is what I said. See, here's what
but
you do.
But he can't win
you
the whole thing. Time.
Where's Mark James?
But he can't.
Where's Mark James? Where is he? Whose ass are you going to kick?
But he can't.
Who are you going to rag on and then kiss their ass when they walk in the door?
But you admitted at the time that you already liked the Celtics in the series.
Yes.
So you didn't think they were going to win. And second of all, we knew they weren't going to beat Golden State, so he wasn't going to win the championship. So therefore, he's going to leave. But I think the one thing some people are missing.
Your timeline is completely screwed up. But forget about the facts. Right, don't worry about it.
Well, I'm getting
it's going to get in the way
anyway.
Of your story.
The Celtics are loaded with talent. And the Celtics, that's why the Celtics are going to be around for the next 5, 6, 7 years, they're going to have an unbelievable window of opportunity. Now, obviously, health plays in a big part of that, but they are loaded.
No,
and look at the draft picks they have. They are going to have draft picks. Maybe not necessarily, they may not even need those players, but those draft picks may give them what they need, an asset, to go and get that player that they're missing that they need to fill that hole.
See, I was thinking about this morning, but somebody wrote about it already as far as what this team is going to look like. Just say they keep everybody. You know, we were talking about during the break, imagine you'd have who's going to be your starting five and who would you have coming off the bench? Coming off the bench, if the roster stays the same, would be a Tatum, would be Marcus Morris, and would be Marcus Smart. That's coming off your bench. And then you have Gordon Hayward, Kyrie, Horford, Jaylen Brown, whoever's at center, doesn't matter. But the point is that you're now the Golden State Warriors. You're looking at a team right now that could be the Golden State Warriors for the next 5 to 6 years,
yeah,
depending how they manipulate the roster. And somebody actually wrote about it. I was like, oh, I totally feel the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, you could easily, with all the talent and all the depth and with all the just the history now, you've been through the ringer. You've been through. They're going to go to the finals. They'll probably lose. Okay, the real green teamers will say, you know what? I'm going to give them a puncher's chance.
Yep.
One game, I say you have an opportunity. Seven, I don't think so. But you build for the future. That's equity. That's experience and equity, sweat equity that you're building. You're bringing in next year.
But the thing is that who expects them to beat a Golden State? Nobody expects them to beat a Golden State. I mean, people will root for them because they're the underdog.
Yes.
So the rest of the country is going to sit there and say, yeah, go Boston. They're going to root for them, and it's going to pay huge dividends if they get there just for the experience.
Am I wrong in saying that home court in the finals is still best record?
Golden State has home court.
That's what. Okay. That's
so that's.
I thought I heard someone say that the Celtics had home court and they're undefeated. And I was like, I'm not so sure about that.
And that to me is going to be the issue of trying to extend it, making it a long series, Lou. I think if you played the first two games in Boston,
well,
at the home
now
court
you're
going
to win Game 5 down 3-1 in Golden State.
Right,
I mean, is that really the dilemma you're talking about?
Yeah.
Because can you win two of the first four to force a Game 6?
If they were playing the first two at home, I would feel confident that Boston could win at least one against Golden State in those first two. And maybe they'd have a shot at both of them, okay? The fact that you're going to play the first two in Golden State, suddenly you're down 0-2 coming back home. You win a game, you extend it, but the problem is you just said it. Game 5 is played where? Out there.
Yeah, that's tough.
And
they'll make it interesting. They'll make it fun, I'll tell you that.
And that's been the difference in this series,
because this team, I mean, I could see Golden State just absolutely waxing them in early in game one, like 30-14 first quarter.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it's a six-point game in the fourth, because this team punches back. I mean, that's there's no question about that. We've seen it time and time again.
I could see a four-game sweep.
It will not be what we saw against them Cleveland last year.
Right.
Like, they won't get run off the floor, I don't think. I mean, I don't think they're going to win it if they play Golden State, but you're going to see them punch back. You're going to see an effort.
There'll be
some good games.
I could see a Golden State sweep where all four games are competitive.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, you want to know something? They can play with those guys.
It's closer than you think.
They just don't have the one player to push them over. And you know what? That's when everybody will come back in the Kyrie Irving bandwagon and say, if we had Kyrie right now, we'd be able to knock it up. That's why some of what I'm hearing right now is you keep Rozier, you trade away Kyrie. Rozier still has not proven to me that, and the goal is not just to beat Cleveland here. It's the next stepping stone.
We'll
and I agree, it's huge progress. The goal is to win the championship. And to beat the championship, you need that guy that's going to put you over the top when stuff really gets difficult.
We'll see.
You've got to have that one player. So Durant's that one player right now. You could argue, I guess, Golden State's got two or three of those guys.
That's the problem. But we'll see with Rozier. Again, we'll see with all these guys. I mean, they've answered every single question you have of them, haven't they?
Yeah, so what do you do if Rozier is that guy? You get to Golden State, you set to go, oh, my God.
Then you get more value for when you trade his ass.
Right.
You try to sign Marcus Smart, and you try to trade Rozier, and you see what you can get.
The one thing I will say in a series against Golden State, the Warriors will see a team that will come out there and aggressively play defense against
them. Not like Houston, you mean?
Nope, not like Houston at all. They will see a team. They will get a team who will challenge them defensively. They will have to work for everything. All right, back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on OML.
Text the show at 37937. Tell Glenn how you really feel.
I really like the text line, but I just don't see why they gotta be so mean.
Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, 617-779-7937. Basketball on the table right now. Celtics up 2-0 in this series. Here's Bob in Connecticut. Hey, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
Good,
Thank
Bob.
Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate you taking my call.
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to agree with you folks on one thing and then make an observation about Brad, if I could, on another thing. Just the fact that Cleveland looked like they had already come and accomplished what they intended to in Boston, the way they were playing, and Boston was playing like they were down a game and had to salvage one at home by scrapping their hearts out.
Yeah, you're right.
And the second thing was, I think that Brad is such a great strategist in the same mold as Bill Belichick, with his ability to make adjustments on the fly and have his team totally situationally prepared for anything that might come up. So they are able to remain calm because he's calm and he's already got a plan, and they know that if they buy into him, they're going to be put in a position where they can win at the end of the game, such as with Marcus Morris not starting on LeBron. I think that the way they were playing it, if one of the young guys could contest an outside shot, if LeBron just decided to chuck it up, and if he didn't and he drove to the basket, Morris could help on that and make him pass it to someone who hadn't proven that they could make a three the whole series. And then if they did decide to switch, run a pick so the switch had to take place on LeBron, Morris may very well end up being the last guy on him with shot clock running down. I just didn't know what you think of that.
Yeah, that might be a little too much into it.
I think Morris wasn't on, because Tristan Thompson started.
Exactly.
So Morris was on Thompson, so Horford could stay on Love.
Correct.
Just a big body, more physical.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. And then that put Jaylen Brown, who's a good defender, by the way, and has had some success in his first 2 years against LeBron. They put him on him. But there's so much switching going on. You can't sit there and, because you don't know where people are going to be positioned. You can't sit there and say, okay, we're going to do this and that, so the switch is going to work out to our advantage.
Brad Stevens' defensive philosophy is, you know, when they come down the court, you have LeBron for the moment.
Yeah.
And if they run a pick, then now you have him.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm just saying.
Real simple.
It's really. I mean, that's really because, I mean, Tatum was on him because they switched. Al's been on him. Morris obviously will be on him because they switched. Rozier's been on him because they switch. It's just, you're only guarding him to start the possession. Once you get into the possession, anybody is.
Yeah, I think people love Brad Stevens so much, they actually, I think, believe that he can take all of those pieces and on any single switch or move, he can just move them around. His talent does.
Exactly. The acquisitions.
Talent does.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I think a lot of people are missing, and I noticed it nationally after the game, you know, oh my God, I can't believe the Celtics are doing this. Well, the Celtics are doing it because you've got a first and a second-year player that are playing right now like they've been in the league for 5 or 6 years. And that tells you, down the road, you have two maybe perennial all-star players. That's how good these two players are. And I think people are caught off guard with that. And so maybe Brad Stevens is getting a little bit too much credit. I'm not going to go the chief route and some of the others, but he might be getting
like
a little
him,
too much credit.
Let's not get carried away.
The talent's really good.
They all have to work together, right? I mean, like you have a bunch of guys that have the right mental makeup that are open to coaching, to the message. I mean, I heard him before the game. He made an excellent point. And he talked about, it was like, you know, go inside, wired up with the coaches inside the locker room. And he said, the most important thing great teams do is, you know, they do all the little things, but they do all the little things better. That's what they do. So they do all those little things, all those, you know, those effort plays and the picks and being in the right place. They do the little things. They just do them better than everybody else.
I will say this, though. There are times that you watch Brad Stevens, and if you want to nitpick, he can sit there and go, I can't believe three fouls. You're going to keep that guy in there. I'm watching Ogilvy in the game last night when LeBron's in the locker room, and I'm sitting there going,
yes.
What's he going to do for you?
Yes.
What's he on the floor? And you could see some of the matchups were causing him problems.
They went to their bench, and I'm just thinking, Ogilvy, to me, is only out there to cover LeBron for 10 minutes throughout a game.
He was in the locker room.
Yeah, and it was like, if LeBron's not in the court, I don't know why Ogilvy's out there.
But he's confusing to me because he looks like a big linebacker.
He does.
Like, he's Ogilvy.
Yeah, he's another one.
You know what it is,
he's another one. It's 6'7". They're all just 6'7", 6'8".
You know what it is? That's the confidence.
He was just physical.
He was.
That's the confidence factor that you're talking about. So he now can depend on Ogilvy down the road because Ogilvy is sitting there going, hey, LeBron was off the floor and the coach still went with me. He still believed in me. I think that's a big part of it. I think that the biggest thing that Brad Stevens brings to the table is he's got these guys totally believing in.
But they're also open to it, too, because you get a bunch of closed-minded guys who feel like they know everything and have the answers to the test aren't open to his message.
Yeah, they're still young.
That's my point.
It's the third youngest team in the league.
You could easily have a guy like Jaylen Brown have a completely different attitude that is just selfish and just arrogant. Tatum the same way. I mean, a lot that goes into the scouting process and knowing that these guys will have that makeup, that they're open to it. Because, you can have great intentions and send the right message. You have a bunch of players that don't care. They don't care. I know what I'm doing, coach. Those guys don't have it.
But they are. Other than Van Gundy, I don't think people are representing or understanding how much talent this team has.
And they're getting a good look at it.
Yeah, and I think so much of it is because of Tatum and Brown. But Tatum and Brown, what they did in the regular season was off the charts. And they were really forced into it, mainly because of the injuries. They got more playing time than they normally would have gotten. All right, certainly Tatum did. And they responded. But you never expected that you would see them making key plays out there in key moments of the postseason. This is off the charts, guys. Look back at the NBA and tell me how many of these guys have done this in the first year or second year of their career. You know who does it? The superstars. The ones that we end up talking about that are the perennial all-stars that many of them go to the Hall of Fame, right? That's what you got right now. Let me go to Nelson in a car. Nelson.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up?
What's up, dog?
Hey, yeah, I'm actually calling to talk about people diminishing Brad Stevens' coaching. I mean, I think a lot of guys are missing the point. Like, a lot of these players that come in, young guys, I mean, they're not finished products. When they come into the league, they got to get coached up. And he developed those guys. And that's the point you guys fail to realize. Like, all those players that are on the Celtics roster right now, he developed them. He made them the players they are.
Well, I don't think anybody's arguing that, but you have to start with something. I mean, the whole idea, and I'll go back to the Bill Parcells comment, you know, if you're going to shop for cook the meal, you got to be able to shop for the groceries or something like that. Brad Stevens would not be able to cook the meal if he didn't have the groceries. The groceries are here. These are really talented players.
I get your point.
You're not coaching up guys who are stiffs.
Okay, a bunch of other teams though get the talent and they don't put it together.
Yeah, but these are high first round draft picks. You're talking about number three overall picks, both of them, right? Yeah, Jaylen Brown and Tatum.
Nobody's diminishing what Brad Stevens is doing. I mean, Nelson's right, right? I mean, you're taking these players and you're teaching them the game, how you want to play it. There's a system that comes with coaching, but they're very talented players. You were talking about the other day with the 2001 Patriots, you know, if there was a one-game play, one game against the Golden State, Yeah, maybe they have a shot. And even the other day I was saying this might be more like that 2001 Patriot because 5 years from now, we might look at it and say, why were we so surprised that this team went to the Eastern Conference Finals? Because 5 years from now, Rozier may be an all-star. Tatum may be, you know, will probably be an all-star. Jaylen Brown will probably be an all-star. And we'll, and they had Al Horford. We'll look back and say, you know, that we underestimated. They were young, but look what they are now. So we shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I think you guys got to give the guy respect, man. He's
nobody is.
Coach.
I think he sucks.
Nobody.
I think he's awful.
Hey, I wouldn't have voted for him. I didn't give him a vote.
He didn't get a vote from his peers, so obviously he's not that good.
Hey, Nelson,
I disagree. I don't think he's any good.
Brett Stevens is the one that's saying this is silly right now.
Okay, yeah, because he's just trying to quiet the noise. I mean, personally, internally, do you think he feels that way? He's a competitor, too.
No, I think he feels that. I think he. Not only do I think he feels that way, I think he understands that that's kind of a runaway train that could cause problems down the road. The coach in the NBA cannot be that star. That's the college game. The players have to be the star. Okay. I think he understands it, senses it, and he's trying to squelch it. Yes.
Was Pat Riley a star in his heyday?
Who?
Yes.
Pat Riley.
Yes.
Yes.
Is he a star?
Yeah, but his players were still bigger
than him.
Nelson,
can I ask you a question? Why did you call? Yeah. Do you think we're not giving Brad Stevens any credit?
I'm
serious. What did you hear exactly? That we said that Brad Stevens doesn't deserve any credit? We're not giving him enough credit? When was that ever uttered?
I've heard it a few times.
From us?
Yes, exactly. You were just saying that 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, because I was making fun of you.
Because
I was making fun of you. Because I don't know why you're even who doesn't give him enough credit?
I'm not talking about you. You guys were just saying it on the air like 2 seconds ago. I'm not talking right now. And then to that point,
are people listening to the show today.
I'm gonna get my last point out.
Paul, could you do me a favor? Hold on for a second, Nelson. We got a technical problem here. We got a technical problem. I know line one
is going on.
It's still broken.
Yes,
Paul,
do not take it. Says
is what we're saying in the studio. Is it going out on the airway, or is there another show that's going out on the airway, and we're just sitting here talking amongst ourselves?
Everything you said has gone over the air.
Are you sure? Can we double check on that?
I can double check.
I got to tell you, we're having a day today.
What the hell's going on?
Well, we're saying one thing, and then something else is actually reaching the audience out there. I don't know how that.
You know what
was? And line one is still out. What is this now? 11 days and counting.
And counting.
We found out what happened.
The
guy that can fix it's on vacation.
It's on vacation.
We have one guy that can fix it. What if all five go up?
Did anybody pick up on the really silly, lame LeBron James Sprite commercial?
Yes,
like
it's been on now.
The first time I've seen it, the big tasty out of the bullpen.
It's weak.
Did you watch him in the stretch? Watch his delivery.
It's a bad delivery.
It was terrible. It was awful. And like the person who's the catcher is like holding a glass of ice. He's obviously, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's. I gotta have some creative control over my Sprite commercial.
It doesn't look good either, like green and yellow.
No, it's terrible.
All decked out.
Get big
uni.
Tasty. We need big tasty out here.
It's pathetic.
So what wins?
Joining us, we've got a scorcher of a Sprite commercial here. Looks like they're calling for refreshments.
Big taste.
Big, oh, big taste. Big,
and here taste. Comes big taste.
Big taste.
Come on, big taste.
Oh my God.
Well, it's really stupid when you get
so bad. Big, they have the
when you're down by 13 in the game. It really looks so.
It just looked so out of place.
So Lou, the engineer, is the only one that can fix the broken line. What happens if we lose line 2, 3, 4, and 5, and lose like in Bermuda? What do we do?
Don't
at
look
that
for this
point?
Lou to fix it.
What do we do?
No clue.
Don't we have anybody else on the planet that can fix line one?
We need a screwdriver.
Can't you just delete?
We have a flathead.
Can't you
we need
just delete
head.
The line is broken? Do not take. Can't you just delete that altogether?
Yeah, you can delete it.
We just won't take it.
And just don't take it. We all know.
Ready? We'll take line one right now, Christian.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul, remember when we were having this conversation with you?
Yeah, this is line one. It works, Christian. We can take line.
It works fine.
Stop.
It's terrific.
Delete it.
No, deleting the information.
Like a rapper. Like, whoo, yeah.
That's
ready
like
to
changing
go.
The title of an audio file.
Yeah, I kind
of
like this. It's kind of sounds good. Well, we're going to the break, and we're going to sell some soap. And if you don't like it, well, then you're broke.
That's the only thing we don't sell, right? Soap, we sell hair,
this is like 90s rap music. Everything had this that type of vibe on it.
No. That's unbelievable.
No, like that. Yeah, I agree. I loved it.
We have one guy in the building.
Christian's hungry. He's getting cranky. He's angry.
I totally am.
We have one guy in the building that can fix line one. Remember, Paul, when we talked about...
Haven't you been in radio for like 1,000 years? Can you do this?
No, he usually tells you that.
Remember how... But it's a good lesson for you. Remember how you said you need to be really important to the company?
Yes, I remember saying that.
You should learn how to fix line one. Between now and tomorrow, if you could come in here and you could fix line one, the company, what do you think the company would think of Paul? Do you think Paul's stature in the company would change if he could fix line one tomorrow?
Well, they'd fire Lou the engineer. How do I do that? He'd replace him.
Oh, now you're becoming compassionate?
I'm compassionate. I don't want Lou to get fired.
Do you want more money or do you want Lou to get fired?
That's a good question.
Take the more money. Think about it during the break.
Too bad things didn't work out, Glenn.
I have this new thing. It's called Internet Radio. But don't worry, I'll be back. And the signal's not that good either. Because I live by the ocean because I got a lot of money.
But we're glad to have you back. It's Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
So I'm not sure how many of you have or have not seen the release that we just sent out in regards to Carson Smith, that we are placing him on the disabled list effective today with a right shoulder subluxation. And we'll recall him Bobby Pointer for tonight's game. I wanted to talk to him because it's how he heard it yesterday. And we talked to Carson. He's very apologetic. He feels bad about it. When he left the game, he was upset. Threw his glove, and when he threw his glove, his shoulder subluxed.
Tell you what, they didn't hold anything back. They didn't hold anything back. This was like a mild carpal tunnel. We're going to reveal everything. We got a lughead who got pissed off, frustrated, threw his glove, messed up his shoulder, and this is really serious. When do the Red Sox do this? They have to be pissed. They were depending on this guy.
After the rough start that he had, and there's no question the first week, 2 weeks, he had a tough start. But you look at, I think, his last 11 games. I know he gave up that home run the other day. No walks.
I think since April 9th, he's been terrific, right?
Yeah, no, he's been, I mean, even, yeah, he hasn't given up, you know, they gave up the solo shot the other day to Davis, but one run before that. But he's been good. And that changeup he's starting to throw and feel comfortable with, or was starting to throw, lefties were 2-for-20 off him. So you're searching for a righty that can get lefties out both sides,
yep.
And he's your guy. You started to lean on him, and he goes and does this. But that the injury and how it happened is it doesn't even compare to the excuses or the reasoning that he threw out there. And after hearing this, if I was Alex Cora, it'd be a long meeting.
Which, right after this. What are you talking? You talking about what?
Long meeting with Carson Smith said. What he said after the game.
Yeah, I mean, you can ask Joe Kelly. I throw my glove every day, playing catch with him.
Don't put Joe into this.
That's part of my warm up routine. Is I go through my throwing motion, throw my glove. Actually, usually hold on to it. Sometimes I accidentally release it. I think it's a freak accident. I mean, I think fatigue played a factor. In my shoulder. My shoulder just couldn't handle it. I think my shoulder's tired in general.
From pitching?
Yeah, it's just from pitching. I mean, I've thrown a lot.
From doing your job?
I think my arm's just tired.
I've thrown a lot lately.
14 innings.
Fatigue.
That's ridiculous.
My shoulder was tired.
It's ridiculous.
And that's one of the factors that played into me subluxing my shoulder when I threw my glove in disgust like an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Listen, you don't look. Carson, why don't you come in the office for a minute.
So. You're going to throw out there that, what, I've been pitching you too much? That I've been throwing you too much? You've actually, for the first time since you put this uniform on, you've actually had a nice run. So I've been throwing you. I don't throw you every single day. You throw a couple days, you get a day off. What, the 4 pitches that you threw against the Yankees, that was too much for you? Oh, so I came back and threw you 12 the next night? Oh, is that too much for you? I gave you a day off after throwing 16. And then I threw you 20 the next night? You know, then I gave you another day off? Like, and you're going to throw out there, I've been pitching too much and it's fatigue?
It's a joke.
Are you kidding me? Get out of my face. I don't want to see you anymore. Go away. You got to be kidding me. Fatigue? I've been throwing too much?
Well, first of all, he starts it with, hey, I throw my glove all the time.
Yes, he says that's his warm-up act.
Ask Joe Kelly.
No, it's not.
Joe Kelly's sitting there going, don't bring me into this. No. What are you talking about? This is on you.
You can ask Joe Kelly. I throw my glove every day playing catch with him. That's part of my warm-up routine.
Let him keep going.
I go through my throwing motion, Throw my glove. Actually, usually hold on to it. Sometimes I accidentally release it.
Okay, so that's the point. He doesn't throw his glove. You know what he does? Like everyone else,
swings it.
They grab the glove, they put it in their throwing hand, and they swing and they go through a throwing motion with their glove in their hand.
That's
not throwing your glove. That is different.
Right.
Every once in a while, you might lose grip, and then your throwing motion that might fall to the ground.
That's Joe Kelly.
You don't sit there and take your glove and say, "Joe, catch!" and throw your glove. Throw it back. I want to throw my glove. This is what I do for warm ups. Hey, ready, catch! Let me throw my glove back. I want to warm up some more. No, that's not. What an ass hat.
Hey, listen. No. Listen. I agree with you. I saw this. I laughed out loud because between David Price and mild case of carpal tunnel, Stephen Wright sliding. What is it? Was it third? Or no, sorry. First, sliding back into first,
second.
Hurting him second base, and this guy throwing his glove, dislocating his shoulder. Then to have the balls to insinuate it was someone else's fault.
Right. Yeah.
Listen, they weren't protecting
me.
They were using
me
too much. They weren't monitoring me. They weren't monitoring my pitch count. Oh, what a back up the truck, run over your manager who has done everything for every
subluxation of your shoulder. Then you had about a week left before that thing blew out.
He's done, Lou. I'm telling you, he's done. You won't see him back here.
Do you want to?
No. 2016, it was a back problem.
Oh,
2017, it was the elbow and Tommy John.
I'm pitching too much.
And now it's the shoulder. And you know, shoulders can be really difficult.
You keep throwing me.
But the problem was that Dave Dombrowski, look at the moves in the offseason.
Oh,
they put everything into him, and now Thornburg, and we don't know what the hell's happening with him.
Another step back.
Okay, but you need that back end of the bullpen, and now you don't have it. And now you know what
Holy
you have to do?
Smokes.
Now you have to make a trade. And nobody necessarily wants Swihart because they haven't seen him this year. You haven't had the opportunity to showcase
him. You know what this is the equivalent of? Of like these kickers where the one kickers like they'll jump up and guys or actually you know the whole high the body high five they jump up or a kicker will celebrate and they blow their knee out from celebrating. That's what happens. This is what you throw your glove and you get hurt,
child.
So and then
it happens. It's a fluke. It's so unfortunate. It's stupid. You admit it. You don't come out and say, "Well, I think the reason why it happened is because of fatigue.
No,
I've been throwing
even
a
if
lot
you,
lately.
Even if you think it, you don't say it.
Oh, what a puke.
Yeah. If I'm Alex Cora, I'm sitting there going, goodbye.
I think
go
he's
away.
Done. And you listen to
go
Dave Dombrowski.
Away. See you later.
He talks about the injury. He ain't coming back. And I bet you they're happy that he isn't.
I don't know the severity of it, but it's not a mild. I'm not expecting him back in 10 days by any means at this point. We'll see how severe it ends up being, but it's got the potential of being a major injury.
It's got amazing. The potential.
They, know they already know.
To be a
they've done the scan.
Course.
They know what it is.
They already know the answer.
They know it.
They're gonna check all the boxes and get a second opinion.
But notice the Red Sox are taking
a different
tact right now. We talked about this last week when it came to Price. They threw the mild carpal tunnel syndrome, and now yesterday they threw it right out on the table. They did it, you know, very quickly. Let everybody know it's on him. He screwed up. He got pissed off. He threw his glove. Nope. And they gave you the fact that it's a serious injury. Good for them.
The fact is, it's just embarrassing overall.
It's embarrassing.
See, now
you're pouting. Yeah. You're having a tantrum. You're angry. And I guess it happens. Okay, fine. Just the fact that it did.
But they needed this guy. Talk about pressure on Joe Kelly. You were talking about.
Don't blame it.
You talked about the other day they put in Joe Kelly in a pressure situation.
Oh, he's the guy. No.
He's the guy. He's
no,
in
he's
a real pressure situation
he's
now.
Yeah, he
no can't question. Get hurt.
He is the guy at this point. Yeah. And if you're Dave Dombrowski. So, Evan Drellick has a story. Apparently now Blake Swihart's agent has asked for a trade. Right. And rightfully so. Yeah. What are you going to do? If you're Dave, again, we talked about this yesterday. You talk about some great assets that you've really screwed up in one of the better catching prospects in baseball that now is a guy that is nobody knows if he can play baseball. That's what you've turned into him. I'm not saying Dave did, you know, but whatever. The organization in the past has. Then you got Brian Johnson, who's a starter, who this year earlier went six innings, gave up one run in a solo shot, threw a complete game shutout last year, I think in May when he came up for a spot start. And now you've turned him into a left-handed specialist, which he can't figure out either. Now you got Stephen Wright back here, and you had a DL, one of your better relievers in Velasquez, who's a length guy, who was beautiful, And you had a Phantom DL his ass just to get Steven Wright back here because he came back from suspension. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? I just saw Nightingale say that the Twins lost Jason Castro, their catcher. He's off for the year. So, what do you do? The Twins? Like, what can you get from the Twins? Coincidentally, you know they got a reliever out in that bullpen in Minnesota. You know what his name is? Addison Reed.
Pretty good.
Huh. Now, what are you going to do? Blake Swihart for Addison Reed? I don't think so. The Minnesota Twins are trying to win, too. I'm not sure
anybody's going to look at Swihart.
You got to go Swihart and Brian Johnson. You got to go find a reliever. You got to get rid of them both. And you know what? It's going to look bad on you, most likely, because one of them is going to probably be in a team's rotation. The other guy's probably going to be a catcher. And maybe they figured out. Maybe they turned to good ball players, and you're going to look back years from now and laugh at it.
Right.
But what else can you do at this point? You've got these two guys that serve no purpose. Pointer's back up here. Velasquez will be activated in 10 days. You got 10 days before Pedroia comes back to trade Swihart and Johnson in the package and get an arm in the pack.
Well, you got a bigger problem, too, on top of that for Dave Dombrowski, and that is that his number one pitching prospect in the organization just blew out his elbow, right? And the number one starter, third baseman, right?
Position player suspended.
Position player's been suspended.
So it's going well.
Yeah, so
you got that going.
So you don't even have the flexibility of saying, I got somebody in the minor leagues. We can deal him. We can get that eighth inning guy out
Johnson
there.
Johnson, right? And it's Swihart.
Oh, good luck.
And I don't know what you if you can get enough. Like, I don't, if I'm Minnesota, I'm going to sit there and say, No. We think we got a shot. We're trying to make the postseason. You know, I'm not going to give up Addison Reed. He's playing a big role for us right now. So I don't know what the hell you're going to get, but you got to do something.
All right, we'll throw that.
Those three guys, Steven Wright, Brian Johnson, and Blake Swihart. Yeah. I'd ask what the Christ are they doing on this?
Well, they're
team?
They're all doing something that they're not built for.
No,
that's what you're asking them to do.
So you got
right
two
now.
Starting pitchers and a catcher.
Yeah,
and you've created zero value for either one because none of them are in their role.
Right,
that's good. That's
and if I'm
good.
Another team, I'm looking at that that's catcher and good. Saying, I don't think he's a catcher. I'm not sure what he is, but he's not a catcher. And if I'm a National League team. I'm not even looking at him as a guy that I can slot in to hit. All right, 617-779-7937, our phone number right here on OMF.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.